But whether or not the government can do this, this is something I took up with Mr. Fletcher, depends on the application of our First Amendment jurisprudence, and there may be circumstances in which the government could prohibit certain speech on the internet or otherwise. I mean, do you disagree that we would have to apply strict scrutiny and determine whether or not there is a compelling interest and how the government has tailored its regulation?
Certainly, Your Honor. I think at the end of every First Amendment analysis, you'll have the strict scrutiny framework in which, you know, in some national security hypos, for example, the government may well be able to demonstrate a compelling interest, may well be able to demonstrate.
All right. Not every situation will in which the government engages in conduct that ultimately has some effect on speech necessarily becomes a First Amendment violation, correct?
Maybe not necessarily, Your Honor. I guess the top line question I would ask is, has the government set out to abridge the freedom of speech? And in this case, you see that time and time again, because if you control
that's not the test for First Amendment violations.
Your Honor, this flows from the plain text of the First Amendment, right?
No, I understand, but we have a test for a determination of whether or not the First Amendment is actually violated. So in certain situations, the government can actually require that speech be suppressed if there's a compelling interest, right?
It can, Your Honor, and I guess what I would say is that the courts below never got to strict scrutiny because the government never raised this. This has never been litigated. The question in this case is whether at the front end, the government itself has undertaken
action. Is the coercion, is the state action, right? That's the question in this case.
And I would urge the court to address the state action issue just like you addressed it in Banta Books.
Thanks so much, Joe Biden. Really appreciate that when you were selecting someone who would have a lifetime appointment to the highest court in the land, that your primary concern was her race and gender. Really appreciate that. Certainly didn't backfire at all in the sense that, you know, now our most fundamental right, the ability to speak freely and not be censored by the federal government, is under threat. But I guess that was actually your intention now, wasn't it?
Welcome to Liberty Lockdown. Please scan your barcode. Your liberty ain't gone, but yeah, it's on hold. Where did it come from and where did it go?
Man, what an unbelievable moment of mask-offedness. They do not want us to be able to speak to one another. Clint Russell, Liberty Lockdown. Thank you for tuning in. This is going to be a very short one because I am just about to board a plane to go to D.C. to be back on Timcast IRL, in which I'm sure we'll be talking about this in detail, so don't miss that. That'll be Wednesday night. That is Ketanji Brown Jackson. And I'm rarely stunned. This is not an NBC, MSNBC, or a CNN host. This is a Supreme Court justice that is essentially saying that the federal government absolutely, as long as they have a compelling interest to defend the people, has the ability to coerce allegedly private corporations to modify their terms of service to dictate what we can and cannot say to one another. That is chilling. That is horrifying. And I am, for one, unappreciative, to put it mildly. I was ranting about this yesterday, but I'm stunned at all of the recent results of the Supreme Court. Just yesterday, they also stayed the order in Texas. So indefinitely, Texas is not going to be able to enforce their own borders. I think that that is unconstitutional. I think that, well, yes, the federal government has taken over federal border control. It has not done that job. So as far as I'm concerned, if the federal government fails in their duties, then it obviously falls to the states. The states have that right, and the Supreme Court justice is unwilling to allow Texas to take that on. Well, simultaneously, there's the potential that this ruling comes down in a direction that is completely and wholly un-American, and that is my gravest concern. It's actually even more concerning than the Texas issue, which is not a hard conclusion. But if this comes down, that and for those that are unaware of what we're talking about here, this is all about the DHS, CDC, all of the three-letter agencies that were handing out diktats to private corporations in 2020, 2021, where they were instructing what content was allowed to be not just, you know, broadcast, not just boosted algorithmically, but rather whether or not these accounts could even exist. We've had years now of deep diving the quote-unquote Twitter leaks, which demonstrated that there was massive, massive coercive pressure that was applied to these private corporations in their terms of service and in their censorship policies. And it was coming from three-letter agencies. And Ketanji Brown Jackson handpicked, not for her ability, but rather for her immutable characteristics, she was handpicked by Joe Biden. And somehow, despite the fact that she can't even tell you what a woman is, she was then quickly approved by the Senate and added to the Supreme Court for the rest of her life. That is unbelievable to me. And it's not much better than Sotomayor, or it's not much worse, I should say, than Sotomayor. These are absolutely unconstitutional, un-American. They don't even seem like they perceive the Constitution and the Bill of Rights of the United States as hindrances. In fact, she says as much. She says that the that this his perception or his perspective is that the First Amendment is hindering the government. Yeah, Ketanji. That's exactly what it's there for. That's, in fact, that's what the entire Bill of Rights is there for, is to hinder y'all from some very basic rights, like, can we speak? Now, I don't support when the Twitters and the Facebooks and the Instagrams of the world suppress content, period. But if they want to do it because they are actually a private business, that is their prerogative, because competitors can rise up to replace the more censorious platforms like Rumble has and allow for creators, and not just creators, but human beings, to speak more freely on maybe a smaller platform, but at least they still have an outlet. What this means is that now every single big tech platform is under the coercive pressure of the federal government or whatever random three-letter agency applies during this crisis. And let me also add, if there is a crisis and the Bill of Rights no longer applies, well, then you do not have the Bill of Rights, because a crisis is perennial, because it is classified by the government itself. There is no litmus test by which the Bill of Rights will then apply, because they can just say, well, this was a very pressing matter and we had to take extraordinary circumstances. They could say that about anything. They have. They will. TikTok is now an existential threat. Have they demonstrated that it is in fact any more egregious than any American-based social media company? No, they haven't. Have they provided any evidence at all that the CCP is actually doing what they claim? No, they haven't. But on assertion alone, you have the potential that the precedent will be set that we can no longer use this random app, which, by the way, again, I don't use. This is not about my own personal interests. This is about, what does this mean as a precedent? Well, they're concocting a crisis where one does not exist, as best I can tell. If they can prove out that TikTok is being used to essentially wage war against the American people, well, that'd be different. At least it would be a discussion that I'd be willing to entertain. You haven't provided an iota of evidence. But this is how they get around this stuff. They say, well, it's a crisis, so we need to create this new law that enables the federal government and Joe Biden, God knows why you would trust him about anything, but it enables Joe Biden to dictate what apps and what nations might be existential threats to us or enemies or whatever you want to call it. The answer should be, must be, has to be, cannot be anything other than no. I do not trust these people. I do not trust them with this power. I do not trust them with this precedent. If you enable them to go down this path, then obviously they're going to say that the next crisis is that Elon Musk or Chris Pavlovsky, or not, they are not, in fact, domiciled in a foreign nation? No. Rather, they are under the influence of, they are controlled by Putin or Xi or whoever, right? Kim Jong. I mean, it's like, it's so clear that, like, if you have a Supreme Court justice like Ketanji Brown Jackson that perceives the Bill of Rights as a hindrance, as a negative in being a hindrance, because it is a hindrance, but that's what it's there to do. That's the entire purpose of it. And if you don't know that, you have no business being on the Supreme Court. The entire purpose of the Supreme Court is to make sure that the Bill of Rights is a hindrance. Her job is quite clearly to make sure that the Bill of Rights is not a hindrance to the people in power. That is her actual explicit perception of what her duty is. It's unbelievable. It's astonishing. She will be there for 40 years. Does anybody understand how dangerous that is? We're talking about 9 Supreme Court justices. She has, what is that? I don't know, 12% or whatever of the power over what is and isn't constitutional. We are in so much danger. And this goes back to the point that I made on Twitter yesterday, in that as much as I am not a fan of Donald Trump's presidency, particularly in 2020, I have to be honest and say that, my God, if Hillary Clinton had had the power to dictate who 3 active Supreme Court justices would be right now, America would be over. I don't think it's hyperbole to say so. It's a 5-4 conservative majority. Most of them are wishy-washy at best, other than Gorsuch. But my goodness, had Hillary been there, had we had, as of now, assuming it was Hillary, and then I guess it would have been Hillary again, almost certainly, but that would have been 4 more liberal justices. It would have been basically a 7-2, and it's over. It's over. You think that the First Amendment, the Second Amendment still stands? Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment? No. None of it. And this, in my opinion, is the best argument imaginable. Probably the only argument that I will even hear when it comes to a second term for Donald Trump. And I think it's a good one. And I think it's one that they ought to be absolutely campaigning on. Because if you are like me, and you perceive this to be as existential in nature as I do, well, then it makes perfect sense that you cannot risk another 4 years of Joe Biden and probably one more Supreme Court justice, which will switch it 5-4 to the communist side. That's where we're at. I don't think it's overstating it at all. And I'm stunned that in my lifetime, from going from a position of free speech is not a given to the libertarians, it's not a given to the Democrats, it's not a given to the Republicans, it was a given to everybody. We all, that if there was one thing we agreed on, it's that we're allowed to speak to one another because we realize that the alternative is significantly worse. But that's not where we're at anymore. We're now in a position where you have a huge, huge percentage of this country that believes, under the pretext of mis or disinformation, well, then censorship isn't censorship. Because there is a compelling interest for the federal government. Because the federal government has a duty to protect the people. To protect us from what? Well, from ourselves. That's the underlying message that they're trying to send. And it's not really implicit. It's relatively explicit. They think that we are too dangerous to speak freely to one another, especially during a crisis, scare quotes. Well, I reject that entirely. And in fact, you know when I really want to be able to speak freely? During a crisis, Ketanji. That's when I'd really, really like to be able to speak freely. Because where does this lead? The obvious answer is, well, if we end up in a hot war with Russia, if we end up in a hot war with Iran, if we end up in any sort of war, even not a hot war, just say it's a cold war, all of this can be used as a pretext for a crisis, which means that we don't have the right to dissent, because that is the key to dissent, is speaking. That's the peaceful option to dissent, speaking to one another, to speak out as loudly as humanly possible to advocate against whatever the government is doing at the time. Literally all I do. That's all I do. I take this extraordinarily personally. It matters a hell of a lot. The entire reason I got involved with this, whatever it is, political world, commentating world, is because I realized in 2020 that my rights were evaporating before my eyes. And it has not stopped. This ruling from the Supreme Court will decide whether or not we have free speech. Because if it comes down in the affirmative, in that they are allowed to dictate the terms of service to allegedly private corporations, it's over. If they have that power, if they can do it, not just through the back door, because essentially what if this comes down as this was not unconstitutional, well, then they can do it above board. They can contact private corporations in America, or for that matter, applying it to TikTok. Apparently they can contact private social media corporations all over the world and tell them, this is what we expect you to do when it comes not just to your boosting, but whether or not this content can exist on your platform. That's where we're headed. So they have to come down against this. If this is not unconstitutional, the First Amendment does not stand because it's a crisis, blah, blah, blah. Look, if you don't have the Bill of Rights during a crisis, you don't have the Bill of Rights. You don't have rights. Let me make it really explicit. If you don't have rights during a moment of crisis, you don't have rights, period. It's a pretty big deal. Maybe the biggest. So I just pray. I pray that they come down on the right side of history, because this is really meaningful. And I am mortified that this is even being debated, that this would actually even have to go to the Supreme Court, that a lower court wouldn't just go, yeah, obviously you violated our rights. Well, I mean, that is what happened. That's why it's at the Supreme Court. But I'm just saying, I can't believe that this even needed to be heard. It's so clearly unconstitutional. Why are we debating it further? So we'll find out in the next couple days. And God willing, it'll be the right decision. Well, good luck for you. Because I have to go catch my flight, I do not have a chance to do ad reads. If you'd like to support my work, libertylockdown.locals.com. You can subscribe over on X at Liberty Lock Pod, or there's a link in the description below to my Amazon wish list. I've already had some people sending me items to improve the quality of the show. I appreciate that. If you'd like to do so, the link will be there. And aside from that, share it around, leave a comment, hit the like button, and hug and kiss your mom. Tell her she's the best. Thank you guys for existing. Peace.
Welcome to Liberty Lockdown. Please scan your barcode. Your liberty ain't gone, but yeah, it's on hold. Where did it come from and where did it go?